Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, last hour's archive will be up soon. If you missed it, you got to check it out. I'm telling you right now, former Sheriff Richard Mack chimes in live from the Kansas courthouse steps. The feds threaten to arrest because they're standing on the courthouse steps. Chris Ann Hall, former Sheriff Richard Mack, and others saying, arrest us, we've done nothing wrong. The feds are standing down right now. The case goes on in the sentencing of Jeremy Kettler. Wow. And Mr. Cox is happening today. Kansas State Rep. Randy Garber says, arrest me, I'll do their sentence for them. Governor Sam Brownback, somehow missing in action, not standing up. What's up with that? Ladies and gentlemen, this battle between states' rights and the federal government is epic. And believe it or not, this lawsuit could shatter all federal gun control laws. Time will tell what's going to happen, but Liberty Roundtable live with the skinny like nobody else. From great guest to great guest, now Roger Stone joins us. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He's a longtime political advisor and friend to President, I'm going to say it again, President Donald J. Trump. He's a consummate Republican strategist. He's been there for a long time and done a great job. Roger Stone is, quote, one tough cookie, and we appreciate him, says President Trump. And now Roger has just released his latest book, The Making of the President 2016, How Donald Trump Orchestrated a Revolution. Roger, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, thanks so much for having me, and congratulations on your coverage from Kansas. I'm looking at this now. It's really outstanding.
We've got a lot of people signing on. Judge Napolitano, Ted Nugent, and Richard Mack are going to be making a video talking about this. After Richard Mack reported from the courthouse steps, he'll be there for the sentencing firsthand to report for us, and then he's headed to Washington, D.C., sir. And we're looking for folks to go talk to Congress and Senate and eventually Donald Trump about this because this is wrong. These people are absolutely harmed, and there's no way to solve it if we let the feds just crush the states.
Yeah, no, I think you put your finger on it. It is the epic struggle between states' rights and the federal government. This is going to play out in a dozen different ways. It's likely, for example, to play out in the states that have legalized some form of the sale of marijuana, 32 states now. And there's an inherent struggle between federal law and state law in those states, obviously. So whether it is guns or whether it is marijuana or a dozen other issues, the question of the supremacy of the states has got to be certified in court and the federal courts at some point.
And Donald Trump understood this so well. He created one of the most epic upsets in the world's history. Your book documents it all.
Yeah, I think this was a bigger upset than even the 1948 victory of Harry Truman over Governor Tom Dewey. You know, Dewey was busy planning his cabinet when Truman was storming across the country, ripping Dewey and the Republicans very effectively and closing fast to pull off an upset. Very similar situation. Donald Trump was barnstorming by plane rather than by train into Michigan, into Wisconsin, back into western Pennsylvania, going into, you know, core Democratic states, while Hillary Clinton was back in Chappaqua looking at swatches of the material for the curtains of her White House office.
You know, the Democrats, on one hand, it seems like they didn't even see this coming. Is that really true, or were they just pretending different and they knew better? What do you think the real truth is?
No, I think both the Democrats and their allies in the mainstream media, and most, but not all, most of the professional pollsters did not see this tidal wave coming. If they had been the slightest bit objective, there was substantial evidence that contradicted their polling. I'll tell you why their polling was wrong in a moment, but the fact that Trump was getting thousands and thousands thousands of people to turn out for his public events.
Well, tens of thousands to be accurate, right?
Exactly. Well, 31,000 people they counted in Detroit in the week before the election, for example. But this is a phenomenon that had begun in the primaries. In the primaries, Trump was drawing crowds of tens of thousands. The fact that the presence of Trump supporters in social media was overwhelming, Twitter, Facebook, and so on. All of this anecdotal information was ignored by the pollsters and the pundits who were using, in the case of polling, an outdated model. In other words, they were assuming from the beginning that the turnout for the 2016 election would be identical to the turnout 4 years previous, and that Hillary Clinton would get the same percentage of the votes of African-Americans and women and Jews and Asians and working people and white people and black people and so on across the demographic board. And of course, that was never realistic. It was never realistic to assume, for example, that African-Americans would turn out for her at the same rate that they turned out for Obama, an iconic historic figure, or that Hillary would capture the same percentage of African-Americans that Obama had won both times. And of course, that didn't happen. It was a major factor in her defeat. Let me put it another way. Donald Trump got about 3.5% more of the African-American vote nationally than Mitt Romney. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it tipped Michigan and Wisconsin.
Well, and it's a ton, especially when you think that the African-Americans are, what, 10 or 12% of the population? So it's a significant portion of their voting bloc.
And therefore, just that small but subtle shift in Detroit and in Milwaukee gives both those states to Donald Trump. So it's really significant in terms of the Electoral College.
But there was warning signs on polling that several people, including you, warned them about, and they just simply laughed at you, didn't they?
Yeah, first of all, most of the media pollsters, the ones who work for the large media, multinational corporate owned media outlets, lean Democratic, or they're hired to begin with because they're Democrats, and therefore they didn't want to hear, whether it was the New York Times or CNN, that their own polling, the polling they had commissioned, was wrong. And there were a handful of pollsters, all of them, to the right, all of them who worked traditionally for conservatives, who saw this trend coming. Tony Fabrizio, who was he was the chief pollster for the Trump campaign, but who worked with colleagues Kellyanne Conway and John McLaughlin and others, they saw this potential, discrepancy, and their own polling was always showing that Trump was within range, that he was in the hunt. Now, it is true that there were times in the campaign where Trump would take a dip. For example, after he criticized Senator McCain, I think he went down all of 2 points, and it lasted for about a day and a half, and then he went right back to where he was. The same thing happened in terms of his criticism of the Mexican-American judge in the Trump University case. When the mainstream media piles on and they tell everybody in the world that you've made a mistake and that you're going to lose, that does get picked up among the voters for a brief period of time. The thing about Donald Trump supporters were intensely loyal. It was very hard to knock them off Trump. They didn't care what the mainstream media had to say. They were voting for Trump come hell or high water. The intensity factor, the fact that Trump's supporters were dying to vote for him, that they were probably telling their neighbors to do the same, and that Hillary supporters had to be dragged to the polls because, frankly, they weren't really for her anyway. They would have preferred Joe Biden or the crazy senator from Massachusetts, whose name escapes me at the moment, and that she was, kind of their choice by default. The other thing I can tell you, Sam, is because I have many, many colleagues, who are active Democrats active in the party, pollsters, consultants, and so on, none of them liked Hillary. None of them were for Hillary. They were for her because she and her husband are famously vindictive, and they didn't want to be punished when she became president. So they had to act like they were for her, but they were doing it gritting their teeth. They really thought it was time for the Clintons to ride on ahead and knock it off. They've stolen hundreds of millions. He avoided impeachment.
All right, hold on, Roger. Got a quick break. Roger Stone is one tough cookie, says Donald Trump, and we appreciate him. We're talking about Roger Stone's latest book, The Making of the President, 2016, How Donald Trump Orchestrated a Revolution and Now He's President. Donald J. Trump, Roger Stone, in seconds.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, riding shotgun today. New York Times best-selling author, longtime political advisor and good friend to Donald Trump, political strategist for decades, Roger Stone, his latest incredible book with the inside details on how Donald Trump created a revolution in the minds and hearts of the American people. It's a movement, as Donald says. The book, The Making of a President, 2016, available at all fine bookstores now. Just say, hey, I need Roger Stone's The Making of the President, and you'll get it. It's incredible. It's available now. Roger, one of the things that Donald did so well is he understood the American people, and he understood the divisionary tactics of the mainstream press and the hostility towards everything we believe in, calling us racists or whatever term they use now, hating women or whatever their latest twist is. Donald understood, and I think guys like you were really the key to help him understand this, was that it was bogus, and the American people just don't buy it, and that we were standing together, and we want real change. Is that the scoop?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assessment. I think what people don't understand is, although he is a billionaire, although he went, you know, to a very fine Ivy League school, Donald Trump himself is not an elitist. You know, when you mix with a certain class of social, certain social class of people, and those are the only people you talk to and communicate with on a daily basis, you have this tendency towards groupthink. You begin to think what they think. And, you know, if you move in the New York elite circles, you would think that bigotry and racism were and anti-feminism were the greatest problems in the country today. Trump never lost touch with the pulse of regular people, but that's because he talks to everyone. He has an amazingly easy manner as a person. He can talk to a cab driver or a waitress or a stevedore, and he not only elicits information, finds out what people are really thinking, but he's comfortable. If you gave Donald Trump the choice of having dinner with a group of cab drivers or a group of Fortune 500 CEOs, I know which one he would take.
Well, and to prove that, when I had Donald Trump Jr. on and when I had Eric Trump on, they both said the same thing. It's the blue-collar billionaire. They grew up learning to work. They grew up dealing with the construction worker and with the people that build things and make America great. And that slogan, make America great again, make America safe again, this slogan, it really tapped into the American people. It was simple. It's something that we could get behind and believe in. And whether we agree with Donald on everything or not is not even important. What's important is that we take power away from the elites, right?
That's exactly right. I think that the elites completely misread the level of dissatisfaction and anger among the American people. Sam, as you know, this is my 10th presidential campaign. I started with Richard Nixon. I worked proudly in 3 campaigns at the senior level for Ronald Reagan. I am proud to have worked for Senator Bob Dole, but I have never seen the level of dissatisfaction or anger among voters that we saw in this election. The people were very, very sour and very fed up with what they saw as a rigged system, rigged against the common person, rigged against the common man. And Trump gave voice to that in a way that no one has ever done so before.
Boy, did he. Roger Stone's book, The Making of the President, 2016, how Donald Trump orchestrated a revolution. Now that he's in office and the Democrats are melting down, they're committing acts of violence around the country, they're about to commit suicide and go nuts and do stupid things, which, by the way, we beg them to not try this at home. Nevertheless, Donald Trump's in office. He's done incredible for the last couple of weeks. He's really done some tremendous things. What do you think needs to happen next for Donald to keep this together? What are the most important pieces that he needs to do now?
Well, first and foremost is aggressive movement on his economic plan, on his tax reform plan, which is very dynamic, very pro-growth, which will produce jobs as soon as it is enacted. That is something that can't be done by executive order, obviously, cutting the corporate tax rate, cutting everyone's tax rate, bringing back some of the money that's parked offshore for fair taxation and productivity here, and a number of other key aspects. They really need to get this moving. I think we all recognize that if Trump can revitalize the economy, it will buy him time on virtually every other issue, and it'll provide money for every other issue. You know, we cannot continue to borrow and spend at the clip we have been. It's just, and Republican presidents, sadly, are just as guilty as Democratic presidents in this realm. In Trump, because he is not beholden to any special interest, because nobody owns him and he's his own man, he actually may be the first president ever who has the potential to cut federal spending.
Oh, we're praying for him to do just that, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually cut federal spending, not you know, push it out over a longer number of years, but to actually cut it.
As Donald ran for office, as everything unfolded, I know you were behind the Donald all the way, but do you feel like anything surprised you?
No, not really. I've known him for 40 years. We've been friends for 40 years. I always believed that he had the capacity, the size. I don't mean the physical size, but I mean the magnetism, the leadership, the command presence, the leadership qualities to rally the American people to a great cause and to become president. I saw this as early as 1987, when former President Richard Nixon was the very first person I know who met Trump and immediately said, this guy could be president. He could really go all the way. And he wrote Mr. Trump a letter, you know, encouraging him to someday seek public office, which is reproduced in my book. So I'm really not surprised, because as a political professional, I could see the anger in the country. And it was only a question of needing somebody to harness it. And then if you looked at the Republican lineup for president, I didn't see that person there other than Donald Trump. I mean, can anybody imagine Marco Rubio, or even worse, Jeb Bush, taking Hillary on the way Donald did? To me, if I had to pick the high point of this campaign, the campaign that made me jump up off of my seat, was in the debate when Hillary said, we can't trust a man like Donald Trump to run the U.S. Justice Department. And he said, because you'd be in jail. Can anyone imagine Jeb Bush doing that? I can't.
And not only that, the American people understood, really, and Donald tapped into this as well. He's just very intelligent. The Americans were sick of the corruption. They were just sick of it.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Look, I think he was the right man at the right time. He had the perfect storm. I did want him to run in 2012, as you know. But in retrospect, I now realize that had he done so, I don't think he would have won. I think the time was not quite right. I think he would have been close. I think incumbent Obama probably would have beaten him.
And the new media taking center stage made a lot of difference, too.
You're right. First of all, I think we needed to experience 8 whole years of the Obama disaster. But then secondarily, the alternative media was not yet to the tipping point. This is the election where the tipping point was reached and where the mainstream media lost their monopoly on the dissemination of political information. They have enjoyed a monopoly for a long, long time.
Roger Stone, ladies and gentlemen, the book out now, The Making of the President. Roger, we know you got to fly. You're busy. Thanks so much for your time. Of course, we'll have you back.
Sam, many thanks, and thanks for helping us make this book a New York Times bestseller.
Amen to that. Thanks, Roger Stone. Back in seconds, ladies and gentlemen, Sam and Kurt live on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The turmoil surrounding President Trump's proposed temporary travel ban is teaching the new chief executive that the executive branch includes many officials whose agenda differs from that of their nominal boss. Tens of thousands of career employees, many of them in obscure branches of government, and even some within Trump's own staff, remain from past administrations, or are not philosophically in sync with him. This is why Trump's intention to stop accepting unvetted refugees apparently is not shared by all the actors in government. Political analyst Joel Skousen refers to this conflict as Trump versus the deep state. This conflict was thrust to the surface by Trump's recent executive order, barring Muslim immigrants from 7 countries until better vetting procedures can be put in place. Skousen says that at least one part of the order was crafted opposite to Trump's intentions. Apparently, administration officials loyal to the deep state had inserted a clause into the executive order on Muslim immigration, creating an exception for prior international agreements, Skousen observes. Apparently, someone close to Trump and loyal to his restrictive view on Muslim immigration found out and told Trump, who was not pleased. The refugees trying to reach Australia have been redirected to outlying islands normally reserved for prisoners. This festering situation was creating a headache for Australian Prime Minister Turnbull. Trump has no intention to honor Barack Obama's promise to take more than 1,000 refugees Australia doesn't want, and broaching this subject reportedly led to some tense moments on the phone between Trump and Turnbull. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Sam Butchman and Kurt Crosby. Man, we've had a rock and roll show today. A bunch of guests. It's been incredible. Roger Stone. He's one tough cookie. We appreciate him. That's a quote from Donald Trump, and I agree with the Donald on that one. The Making of the President 2016. That's the latest book from Roger Stone. How Donald Trump Orchestrated a Revolution. Roger Stone is a New York Times bestselling author, and we hope to make this latest book another bestseller. The New York Times doesn't even know what to do with Roger Stone. They just can't ignore it when he's one of their best-selling authors. When I say one of their, I just mean that they cover it, right? Anyway, very fascinating. I tried to call Sheriff Richard Mack back and get an update, and no answer. I sure hope they didn't arrest him. Maybe they did. Maybe they went ballistic. Maybe the government's out of control, and now we're going to be able to track a lawsuit for the abuse of one's rights. Anyway, we'll find out about that. Roger Stone pointed to something, Kurt, that I want to pick your brain on that I think is important that we discuss for the rest of the hour, though. I asked Roger Stone what Donald needs to do now or what President Trump needs to do now to really make a difference. And by the way, to prove that Donald is just a regular guy and that he feels comfortable with the rest of us, most of us wouldn't just call President Bush or whatever, George. Or that we wouldn't call, you know, Bill Clinton just Bill oftentimes. But we will call Donald Donald. Because we've known this guy. He's been in the media forever. He's done things. He's built things. He's the blue-collar billionaire. People understand him and they feel comfortable about, where he is. Now, whether you agree with Donald perfectly or not isn't the point. The point is, he is one of the people's man. That's for sure. And he is comfortable, even though he's a billionaire, he is comfortable dealing with mere mortals. And when we interviewed Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump, we understood that very clearly. They were just like we were. Yeah, they got plenty of money, but they started out learning to work, driving a backhoe, talking to the people, spending time with the workers, etc. Well, anyway, Roger Stone mentioned that one of the most important things that Donald Trump needs to do is really work on his economic initiatives, because that's where jobs are going to come back. That's where people are going to feel better, and then that's where he's going to get more time to work on other things. I think that's a valuable point. Kurt, do you want to respond to that?
You know, Sam, it's pretty interesting when you look at the whole picture. And some folks say, well, yeah, the Roger Stone, man, he's a he's a bad dude. Well, you know, we're not saying just because we have him on that he's perfect at everything. But, you know, they're right when they get together and say, look, the American people are ticked off and they want change and they don't want standard old, same old, same old. And Roger Stone, you know, he picked that just right, didn't he?
Yes, he sure did. Now, Donald Trump is making good on exactly what Roger Stone pointed out as well, because Donald Trump just signed executive orders to rip up the Dodd-Frank disaster. And this is kind of interesting. And the Consumer Protection Act, Kurt, this is huge.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, what typically you see out of Washington, if something says the Consumer Protection Act, that means it's usually bad for consumers. You know, if it's the Clean Air Act, it's usually bad for the air. If it's the Clean Water Act, it's usually bad for the water. And it's just how it standard goes. And every time it comes with more and more regulation, more and more laws that are not real laws, they're, as our buddy from the Institute on the Constitution says, they're pretended legislation, and we see that over and over and over again.
You got that right, but when Donald Trump signs executive orders to rip up Dodd-Frank and to destroy the Consumer Protection Act, which isn't protection at all and has nothing to do with consumers, we really start to see, this is what I mean, Donald has been keeping promises. Donald is serious about this. The real question is will the Republicans come aboard and help him? Or will the Republicans melt down and fail? They talk big, but when action comes, do they melt and wither, or do they stand tall? Time will tell, Kurt.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you that, yeah, the Republicans are going to be there for sure. I'm looking at a piece from WorldNet Daily. The headline reads, 12 top Republicans backed by Soros in 2016. That worries me quite a bit. What's called the Soros Fund Management. Yeah, they say they spent $224,000 plus on Democratic Party congressional campaigns, and they also spent $31,400 on Republicans, including $10,800 on Ryan, the most of any member of the GOP. Now, what I want to know, and by the way, that was the same money they put into the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer's hands. You know, other GOP congressional recipients of Soros' contributions include Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona. He got $2,500. Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, $2,700. Joe Heck, Republican of Nevada, $2,700. John Boehner, Republican of Ohio, $2,600. Representative Ed Royce, Republican of California. I wonder if that's where you get the Rolls Royce. But anyway, Representative Carlos Curbelo, Republican of Florida. Charles Grassley, Ron Johnson, Wisconsin. Kathy McMorris Rogers from Washington, and Representative Dan Donovan from New York. He got $300. So, you know, the bottom line is, I don't think people give people money just for the fun of giving it. I believe that they really want something for their money. And when George Soros hands out almost $11,000 to Paul Ryan, I think he wants something for it. What do you think he wants, Sam?
Not only does he want something for it, but if they don't perform, there's serious, serious repercussions. A lot of times they have a lot of these politicians caught in scandals, and it's like, hey, not only will I help you if you go along, but if you don't, I will use my money and my influence to harm you. I could be wrong, but there's a lot to that, too. What a disgrace, though. 12 high-level Republicans on the George Soros dole.
Well, that's right, Sam, and, you know, you just, I mean, if you asked, I believe, most people, if you ask them, which top Republican got almost $11,000 from George Soros, you know, they would be hard-pressed to say that Paul Ryan was the guy. And yet, he's supposed to be, what do you say, one of the good guys, if you will, right?
Well, you would think, but I'm not so sure, right?
Based on his past efforts or lack of effort, you know, the results, I would say, you know, he's not the Republican stalwart, if you will, that many of us had hoped for, you know.
Yep,
get rid of Boehner and then you get Ryan.
There's interesting jobs reports that are out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs report, Trump says the jobless rate that we hear wasn't real. And there's a big article written about this, Kurt, that talks
about... You mean it's fake news?
Yeah.
Wow. You mean a lying more from the New York Times? You know, they promised they weren't going to lie anymore, Sam. I mean,
they
know,
lied.
I'm sure that they're... Oh, darn. Lying again. New York Times. Wow.
Trump says the jobless rate wasn't real. And when you dig into it, they show you all kinds of statistics and numbers. And anyway, the unemployment rate's anywhere between 20 and 40%, depending on how you include the numbers. But this idea that it's around 4 or 5% is an absolute patent fake news lie. And Donald caught him at it again. And now they're just attacking Donald over it, Kurt. Instead of admitting the truth, instead of finding a way to make America better, to make America great again, they just attack Donald Trump. Shame on these fake news propagandists, Kurt.
Well, I think Steve Bannon, when he said, if I remember right, he's the White House, is he press secretary or chief of staff? Anyway, he's a big shot. He used to be at Breitbart. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to the media. And he basically said that the standard media is the opposition party.
Amen to that,
you know,
reality.
It's pretty interesting to see.
But I would
that,
say the insiders
it?
On the Republicans are the opposition party, too.
I mean,
they're getting their money from George Soros. Hey,
good point. That's a great point. Insiders versus basically the rest of us, or the kingmen versus the freemen. It's basically ever been that way, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised when it's still that way, huh?
Yeah. Send me that WND story headline. I'll add that to the show notes.
It's in your email. Should be
perfect.
But you know, when you look at the different things going on, the Kettler, you know, Cox
deal. Yeah, by the way, when
deal,
we come back, we're going to get into that.
Things.
Kurt sent me three or four stories on this. And there's some tidbits we need to pull out of each story to put the kind of narrative together and make sure that people understand completely what's going on here. So we'll do that in seconds. Kurt Crosby, Sam Bushman, breaking it down just for you live on your radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby on your radio. I've been trying to get a hold of Richard Mack, and he's not answering. I hope he just went into the courtroom a little early or something and all is well. I pray we don't have an issue where they got arrested. Time will tell, though. We'll keep an eye on the ball just for you. You probably have to
might make it so he could he'd miss his flight if he got arrested. You know, he'd have a hard time getting back to Washington, D.C.
Well, he'll get there.
You know. Yeah.
Trust me. He might do his one good call, point. And I might have to get a bail bondsman to bust him out of court, and we might have to file a lawsuit against the feds, too.
Mm-hmm. Good point, yeah.
All right. Anyway, we're talking about this issue that we talked about last hour. And former Sheriff Richard Mack chimes in live from the KS courthouse steps, and the feds threaten to arrest. Where Governor Sam Brownback and the county sheriff when we need them the most. Governor Brownback does nothing as Kansas gun law is violated by federal courts, writes Miko Hayes. Now, we mentioned that guest Randy Garber, Kansas state rep, has said, you know what, put me in jail in their stead. They've been wronged here. Jeremy Kettler, one of the folks getting sentenced today, was on the broadcast with us. Chris Ann Hall, well-known attorney at law and constitutional speaker, author, and educator with us. Sheriff Richard Mack was with us. Wow. This lawsuit could shatter all federal gun control laws. Well, then we had on Roger Stone, well-known best-selling New York Times author. The Making of the President 2016, How Donald Trump Orchestrated a Revolution. Roger Stone is one tough cookie. We appreciate him, says Donald Trump. And anyway, I bring that up because Roger Stone's doing a great job. Americans are getting it done, ladies and gentlemen. We find out from WND.com, doing a great job as well. 12 top Republican inside hacks backed by Soros in 2016. All right, but we need to get back to this gun issue and the reason that Sheriff Mack is on the courthouse steps today. He'll be in Washington, God willing, tomorrow. And we're making a huge difference and, right now, folks.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, all that first hour we had alongside, Mr. Lowell Nelson from the Campaign for Liberty. You know, the guy is an amazing patriotic American.
Advocate of liberty, I mean, no question.
I can hardly go anywhere that he's not already there, you know. And it's just amazing to see what he's...
You want to know why,
Kurt? Gets accomplished. I don't know.
It's because he's for real.
I mean, yeah, that's right.
You know, it's because he truly practices what he preaches. The guy does a phenomenal job. Anyway, Lowell Nelson, we covered a couple of his stories there. We needed to get to more, but thank heavens he's on each week. He'll understand with Roger Stone and Richard Mack and Chris Ann Hall and what's this guy's name? Randy Garber, Kansas State rep, willing to go to jail for the poor guys caught in the middle. But we want to explain this a little bit further. I want to start out with what is, and then this acronym or whatever, SAPA, 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 whatever you want to call it.
Well,
what
you
is
know,
SAPA?
Most of us grow up thinking, man, you don't want to be called a SAP, you know. But, you know, a SAPA basically stands for Second Amendment Protection. What was it? But the bottom line was it Act. Yeah, that's right. Second Amendment Protection Act there in Kansas. So, you know, in several of these articles, it references it. One of them puts it pretty succinctly. It says, SAPA made it so that all guns manufactured in Kansas that never left the state were entirely exempt from federal gun control laws. Those in
if
support of SAPA.
Hold on. If that's true, then the feds need to be told, stand down, gentlemen.
That's exactly
right. By the governor,
right.
The state legislator, and the courts in the great state of Kansas.
That's right. Good point. They say those in support of SAPA had hopes that the new law would attract gun manufacturers to the area to set up shop. The law was supposed to prevent any federal agent from enforcing federal gun laws within the state of Kansas, while at the same time pushing for the prosecution of any federal officers who attempted to enforce federal law in the state's borders. SAPA was also supposed to protect accessories and ammunition that was made in Kansas, once again, as long as the product did not leave the state. Then you have this author's, it's called The Daily Haze. Then you have his little summation here of what's kind of gone on since then under the title Shane Cox and Jeremy Kettler. Now fast forward almost 4 years later, Shane Cox and Jeremy Kettler are facing federal prison for acting within SAPA's, remember, Second Amendment Protection Act in Kansas, acting within their boundaries, and Brownback is doing nothing to stop it. Cox was the owner of Tough Guy's Gun Store in Chanute, Kansas, and Kettler was one of his customers. Cox was arrested in 2014 and in 2016 found guilty, you know, that's that speedy trial thing, on 8 charges of illegally making and marketing firearms. He was also found not guilty of 2 counts of possession of a destructive device. So anyway, there's your, I don't know if you call that a small or a short summary, but kind of might get your arms around it.
I don't like the ending words, a destructive device. It depends on who's using the device. It might be a rape me not, a murder me not, a kill me not, a save a police officer device.
Well, that's exactly
right. How is it destructive?
We've seen it happen. Well, it might be protectionist device.
Because what it might, exactly. Because what it might mean is all the cops are running around with destructive devices then.
Yeah, that's right. They are, aren't they?
Well, unless you realize that devices are neither good or bad, neither destructive or protective. It all depends on the humanoid or the person responsible at the helm, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing out kind of the obvious, but I don't like those incendiary words they use, like an assault rifle or these things. Hey, man, when someone's assaulting me, if I use that rifle to stop them, I would hardly call it an assault rifle.
And just so you know a little bit more about Kettler, you know, kind of who he is or who he, whatever, they say he's a disabled U.S. Army veteran with a family and no prior charges. And what he did was he bought a silencer from Cox. He then filmed a live fire test of the equipment. They say Kettler was found guilty on one count of purchasing the unregistered suppressor. So I sure think this is something that could happen to anybody, because you go into a store and you just think, hey, man, I think I want to buy me one of those. And you might not know there's all these, regulations that are, proposed law, or what's our buddy at the Independent or the Institute on the Constitution call it?
Pretended legislation. Yes, sir.
Yeah. You might not understand that. You might not realize that, hey, you got some federal bureaucrat that's just making it up as he goes, you know?
All right. All I can tell you is if you are concerned about these cases where innocent people, family men, are put behind bars, caught between the state and the federal bureaucrats and regulatory realities of today, and if the governor signs a law to protect you from the feds, but then the governor won't stand up when it comes crunch time, if you're sick of these kind of abuses and cases, then we need your help. TheFreedomCoalition.com is where you go. TheFreedomCoalition.com. Ted Nugent's aboard. Judge Napolitano's aboard. I mean, there's so many killer names up there, it's surprising. All I'm telling you is you gotta get aboard, folks. More and more people are seeing how important this is. Sheriff Richard Mack is in the state of Kansas. He was on the courthouse steps. Hopefully he was in the court now watching the proceedings, but they may have arrested him. We'll try to get a handle on that as soon as we can. But if all goes well, Richard Mack will leave tonight. We'll head to Washington, D.C. to lobby congressmen and senators, hopefully talk to Donald Trump and others about truly getting to the bottom of this, where American innocent people are being put in prison because of out-of-control, belligerent, unconstitutional regulations. We've got to stop the out-of-control governments at all levels from violating the rights of good, honest Americans. Kettler and Cox are a great example. The Amish farmer trying to sell chickweed salve to care for people's skins, another great example. The harassment by the IRS and other unconstitutional agencies has got to stop. And we, the people, are getting it together to make a difference. Folks, we need your help. TheFreedomCoalition.com. Anything to add, Kurt?
No, I was just going there to check things out, to see some of the signers. According to the petition, there's 182 signers with a goal of 100,000. The thing that I'm surprised with is, even though I've signed it, I can't find my name on there.
We moved from the government signing petition that failed to this one. Hopefully it'll be better. Did you get the email and confirm your signature?
That's what I thought I did. You know?
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that.
Looking down through the list, you know. Yeah.
All right. And we would have a lot more signatures than that, but we had it and cranked out hundreds of signatures and then had to start over. So that's kind of part of the problem as well. Thanks for being alongside for the ride, ladies and gentlemen. 2 hours in the can. Tomorrow we'll have incredible updates for you, as we have done, I'm telling you, for almost 25 years. Liberty Roundtable Live. Tell all your friends. It's the most positive Believe in America.
There I am. I see it finally.
All right, good. Talk America, Believe in Talk Show on the Air. Or, I'm sorry, Believe in America Talk Show on the Air, the most positive broadcast on the air, with heavy-hitting winners, if you will, to say the least. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? This nation shall endure.